Now, typically, I don't keep going back to a story with any kind of frequency. There are a lot of things to focus on, so I hope that the facts I share with you connect and resonate. But as the saying goes, to every rule, there is an exception. That applies to when a youth being bullied at school ends their life because of either poor or no actions that were taken by that school. This is what we saw happen a few weeks ago with the suicide of Adriana Cush. It's a story my first guest today painfully knows with the suicide of her daughter Mallory back in 2017. Rather than fall prey to what's certainly the greatest pain a parent can ever be afflicted with, she turned the tragedy into a fight for change with the creation of Mallory's Army. Here to share her thoughts about what we have seen in the aftermath of Adriana Cush's death is Diane Grossman. Diane, thanks so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for letting us share our story and our journey with your listeners.
Mallory'sArmy.org is the website for Diane Grossman's organization. And I'm going to ask you to share Mallory's story because for the listener, it's going to sound almost as a mirror to what we have learned about Adriana.
There are so many similarities between Adriana's story and Mallory's. I think that's why we spoke out so quickly, and I have connected with Adriana's family, and I hope to be, you know, someone that they can lean on in their early years of grief. Mallory's story was pretty similar in the fact that there were four girls that it kind of started in fifth grade with the relational bullying, and we call these things gateway behaviors. Of course, when I was experiencing it, we didn't know. We just thought it was girls being girls, but there is true terminology to define what's going on. These four girls decided to put a target on Mallory's back, and it was hair pulling, eye rolling, whispering, "You can't sit here," making fun of her, teasing her. They would kick her chair in class, just the everyday annoyances. She never had a seat at lunch, and this went on for, I would say, probably most of, if not all of, sixth grade. We saw it to start to escalate, but we didn't know much about it, and so even though Mallory had a cell phone, and I certainly did watch it, I don't know that I necessarily was truly understanding the gravity of what cyberbullying can do. And so the girls took Mallory's picture on school grounds during school hours and sent it to her. Mallory kept that quiet for a couple of weeks. And then when it finally came to light on the day that Mallory died, June 14th, 2017, we had a three-hour meeting with the principal where the school denied, deflected, made excuses. You know, the normal things that we're starting to see come out of Central Regional was very similar to what happened with Mallory. And after testifying for 3 hours and telling the school what her day was like at school, a few hours later, Mallory ended her life and was found by her father.
The mirror even goes beyond that because in January of 2020, as part of Mallory's Army, you did a presentation at Central Regional High School.
Yeah, and which is even more frustrating is that they were warned. You know, I feel like that for the last 5 years, I've been pounding the pavement, and we had a great event at Central Regional. It was a community event. There were several administrators. The school came out. Like, it was truly a community event that came together. It wasn't just about a school assembly. This was a full day of community events where I was talking and sharing Mallory's story. So, you know, oftentimes the schools call assemblies drive-bys, and until we truly find a way to change the culture and put discipline in our actions, then I think that this is going to be, unfortunately, a regular occurrence with our youth.
Especially now we see so many studies where teen girls, especially but teens overall, the rate of anxiety, the rate of lack of self-esteem, self-respect, we just see that increasing more so. I mean, just the fact that there is this kind of significant increasing number of teens willingly saying, I don't like me. That's got to be a warning sign.
It's a warning sign. I mean, we've got so many different factors in there, and I certainly think that the excessive abuse and the overuse of technology, and I'm not going to just say social media because it's an overabuse of technology, the amount of screen time – Here's one thing that parents and grandparents and everybody needs to hear. How can your child ever appreciate the life that they have when they're constantly looking at a life that's not theirs? And that's really what social media and this electronic avenue is it's constantly scrolling and looking. It has been proven that when children are depressed, they do this mindless scrolling. It's also been proven that the mindless scrolling contributes to the depression. So it's one of those things that we really do need to have a healthier relationship with technology, and I think that we are introducing apps and iPads to children far too young, and they're being introduced to content and information they're just not mature enough to navigate.
Now, one of the paths to change is that most people probably think about are laws. Now, when the aftermath of Mallory's death, Mallory's Law came to be, the main upshot of that was to mandate that schools create and post online bullying policies. Response right. to that was probably by many people, what? You mean they had to be told to do that? Well, now we're seeing in the aftermath of Adriana Kusha's death, pending legislation mandating that when there's an instance of bullying, police are going to be called in. Again, I guess the response has to be, what? You mean the schools had to be told to do this?
Well, I think everybody needs to understand that the relationship with police departments and school systems is significantly different. And one of the key reasons for that is that we're dealing with juveniles. I hear this over and over and over again. Well, it's harassment, Diane. It's harassment. Yes, but in the eyes of the law, they're still juveniles. And so we treat juveniles in this country significantly different than we do adults. And so to put words in our mouths that say it's harassment, it's this, it's that, it really falls back to the schools. And there is a memorandum, an agreement between law enforcement and the school systems that really does put the school in charge, meaning they determine if the police are called, they determine whether the police are looped into the investigation, and this goes right back down to protecting children's Miranda rights. There's a lot more involved than just calling the police and saying, my kid's being bullied. A lot of times, parents can't do that or schools won't do that because it really comes down to making sure that there's protection in place. But what I think we're finally having the conversation about is that when do we start protecting the victims? There's been a lot of conversation about protecting the bullies, right? But there's not a lot of conversation about protecting the victims. And under the New Jersey HIB, one of the main lines in there is that all children are entitled to a safe learning environment. The word safe learning environment also implies social and emotional learning. So while they may not be physically abused during the day, like what we were able to see with Adriana's attack, in Mallory's case, hers was completely social and hidden. And I say this to teachers and administrators all the time. Just because you can't see the abuse doesn't mean it's not happening. We have to start listening that when children and parents come forward and say, this is how I'm treated at school, you have to be willing to sit down and listen and understand the gravity of what they're experiencing.
Talking with Diane Grossman, who has honored her daughter Mallory with the creation of Mallory's Army to combat school bullying and the tragedies that we have just seen with Adriana Kusha, as well as with Diane's daughter Mallory. Mallory'sArmy.org is the website. You can learn more and support their work. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. How much do we need to change this? I call it the bogus self-assessment system. Case in point, Central Regional High School. Total possible maximum score in the self-assessment for how a school is doing in addressing bullying. Possible score of 76. They gave themselves a 71.
Isn't that fascinating, right? Here's what schools and parents and everybody need to be worried about. Right now, it's a self-assessment, and we all know that it is skewed, right? We'll just say that. We'll say that it's not effective. What parents and schools should be more worried about is the more Adrianas that come forward, the more Jocelyns that come forward, the more Shanes that come forward, the more Emilys that come forward, and certainly the more Mallorys that come forward. School systems need to be mindful and need to be making more proactive decisions, because if they don't, they're going to get tired of paying out multi-million-dollar lawsuits, which is going to happen, and then you're going to have insurance companies determining their effectiveness, just like we see in our health insurance. Insurance companies determine pre-existing conditions. Are we going to be in a society where insurance companies are overseeing the administrative task of our schools? I really fear that. I also fear that schools, and particularly New Jersey, because they've tried this legislation in the past, which I'm outwardly against, screening children for mental illness. Once again, we're putting the burden on the victim rather than putting the emphasis on the behavior. Changing the school culture is one avenue, but you have to understand when children can predict the consequences of their behavior, that's when you'll see change. And I certainly think that we need to see more verbs in our sentences when it becomes to schools. I don't care if they have a 50 grade on their anti-bullying. That tells me they're doing their job. I care less about numbers and more about the overall culture and how students feel at school. So if schools want to do something, in my opinion, they need to start flipping the culture, but more importantly, disciplining some of this really terrible behavior. And I think Adriana's case is an example of that bad behavior. Those girls knew what they were prepared to do. They were locked and loaded, ready to videotape it, and they knew the consequences were going to be very slim because they acted out anyway.
That's a great context. The fact that they were videoing it sort of tips the hand that they felt they were immune to any responsibility because
Correct.
Of their actions.
Absolutely.
Just and speaking of video, too, just to add to the tragedy, the video has surfaced just recently, the last few days. It's been going all around online about a time Adriana jumped into a neighbor's swimming pool to save a child who was drowning.
Right, right. I think that, you know, I look at Adriana and I look at Mallory. They were both, I mean, if you look, I think what's the most telling part about the video and what I think hurts me the most that no one's talking about, if you look at Adriana, she didn't fight back. That wasn't a school fight. That was an attack. She cowered on the floor and protected her head. There's another young lady that was listed in News Nation. She's in California. Same exact thing. A group of girls attacked. And when you see a child cower like a wounded animal on the floor trying to protect their head because they're being, she's not fighting back. I want everyone to notice that she's not fighting back. Mallory would not have fought back. Most victims of bullies, that's exactly what happens, is they don't fight back. So parents need to stop saying, or schools need to stop saying, well, defend yourself or fight back. It's clear that she is not in a position to fight back, and she is a victim laying on the floor and being brutally attacked and beaten.
And the schools certainly have to do more than send the victim to the nurse's office.
Well, I think that, again, what's telling in the culture of that school system is you see a teacher standing in the doorway, and what does she do? She turns her back and walks away. That tells me that situations like that happen regularly in that school because there was no shock, no awe, no one got in trouble. It was business as usual because of the reactions of the adults that were in the immediate area. It wasn't until several minutes later that someone came in to try to break it up. But when a teacher watches two people fight and they turn their back and walk away from it, that tells me that that is a regular culture that happens in that building.
And this is another talk from another time, but we have teachers who are leaving these environments because no matter what they do, they can't bring about any kind of change because the deck is stacked against them. But the problem is there, a lot of those are saying too much too late, as opposed to, well, there is a case in Mount Olive. You might have seen this in the news, too, over the past week, too, where they're actually thinking about legal action against that school district for falsifying those self-assessments. So
correct.
That'll be something to watch to see whether or not that takes root. Learn more about, and more importantly, to support the work of Mallory's Army, mallorysarmy.org. And Diane, thank you so much. You honor your daughter, and you help us understand truth, reality, and our responsibility and the roles we play in bringing about change. Thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you for having us, and thank you for sharing our story.